Hello?
Hi.
Fantastic.
Engage.
The Rancor's Brothel.
Hello, and welcome to the Rancor's Brothel, issue number 74. I'm your co-host, Matt.
And I'm your co-host, Cody.
Cody, let's take a moment and say sorry to the listeners. Here at Follow Networks, a lot of our podcasts have been hit and miss lately. Good old scheduling conflicts. And last weekend, it just wasn't going to be able to happen. We tried to get hooked up with Dustin Leinenbach, our old co-host. I guess my old co-host. but just couldn't get it set up. So we'll probably get him on the show here in the very near future.
That'd be great.
But Cody, it's good to talk to you. Like, as soon as we Skype tonight, I was like, God, I haven't talked to you in forever, dude.
Yeah, I know. That's part of. I will take the blame for this one. I won't take the blame for all of the times we haven't been able to record, but I will definitely take the blame for this one. It's just we don't normally talk too much about our personal lives. But I started a new job about 4 or 5 months ago, and it's deadline based, and I had a huge deadline coming up, so it was a lot of long nights and uncomfortable, you know, things going up. But that's all pretty much cleared out of the way, so should be good from here on out once I, you know, recoup the lost sleep, as it were.
Very good, very good. Well, I hope you get caught up soon, sir. Be your normal witty self.
Well, the worst part was that I was catching up. It's weird. I don't sleep well.
Mm-hmm.
And the last 2 weeks, every night that I've gone to sleep, it's like I've ran a marathon. I just hit the pillow and I just am out.
Really?
But then last night I was like, I started to go to bed and I was like, you know what? Screw it. I want to play some video games. And I sat down to play Civilization, which is probably the worst game to play before you go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
So then I stayed up till like 5 o'clock in the morning playing Civilization. So work today was less than stellar because I was, you know, dead tired.
Well, that sounds enjoyable. And since I have, horrific sleep apnea, I know what that can feel like, brother.
Yeah, but it's okay. We're good now. Things are looking up.
Hooray! Cody!
Yes.
Like we do every week. Well, you know what? Before we do like every week, a couple of announcements. Number one, number one will come during What Have You Been Reading? Number two! this upcoming Sunday, that's November 16th, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., will be the long-awaited and anticipated independent show.
Woo!
That is at the Radisson by the old airport terminal. That's 2500 South High School Road here on the west side of Indianapolis. I believe, don't quote me, I think admission's like $4, maybe $7. It was a weird number. It is not $5 or $10. Watch it be $10. God. this is hosted by John Graham, what I will call our local public figurehead for writing your own books, here in Indianapolis.
That'd be John Graham of Fidget Press, right?
Fidgetpress.com. Also of independent.com or independentshow.com. Really going to be an awesome thing. We'll, Follow Networks will have a booth there, selling some of our wares. Lucas Patterson of Follow Networks, who has also written a book, on his own, so it's not really Follow Networks, but he'll be selling it at the booth, L'Industria Inferne, which I am currently reading. So that's actually announcement number one. That book is still available at Amazon.com in hardback, and I can't remember if it's available on the Kindle or the Nook, but just Google Lucas Patterson, and then buy whatever it tells you to buy. Now, the book's good. The book's interesting. I'm actually like, I had to go back because I read like the first 10 pages. The opening is, the intro is like a flashback sequence.
Nice.
Kind of a, a little exposition.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had read that, and then I got like completely sidetracked by other things. And then like a month later, Lucas is like, hey, did you read my book? I'm like, shoot. I'm trying not to cuss. Shoot.
You're doing a good job so far.
Thanks.
No bleeps necessary.
Yay. So I had to go back and reread the opening again because I'd already forgotten. But, it's good. I only can read it on my lunch break, so I only get like 20 minutes 3 days a week to read it, so I'm not done. But it's so far extraordinarily enjoyable, so check it out. Awesome. Lindustria Inferne, it's a fun mafioso story set in steampunky times.
Sweet.
So that's kind of weird. If you're not, if like me, if you're not like into steampunk and you're reading it and you're like, like they drove up in their nice car with the power windows and then they went into the hotel and there were gas lamps and you're like, wait, wait a minute. That doesn't work. So once the anachronistic mind gets past that, then it works really well.
Yeah. Just let it go, man. Let it go.
Yeah,
it's all right.
I had to, it's meta, right?
It always makes you sound smart, even when people use it wrong.
I probably just used it wrong, didn't I?
Yeah, I don't think it's meta at all, actually.
Okay, well, I'm just going to take a sip of my Dr. Pepper and move on.
That's okay. That's one way to move. It's one way to keep the conversation going. Just get that Dr. Pepper in and there. Dr. Pepper, sponsor of the Rancor's Brothel.
Oh, my gosh. Shut up. We're going to get sued. Do you know Dr. Pepper was originally like advertised as to drink it hot or cold?
Huh.
And if you're like out shoveling the snow in your driveway and you're freezing cold, I swear, come in and have a hot Dr. Pepper. It's amazing. Like hot, like cup of coffee hot.
Really?
It actually unlocks some of the flavors. Like they, you know, they have like 23 different flavors make up Dr. Pepper. It unlocks the ones that you can't differentiate when it's cold.
Huh.
It makes it almost more fruity and less spicy. It's very interesting. Just pour 2 liter into a coffee cup, microwave it about a minute. It's delicious. And hot carbonation is really weird.
Oh, yeah.
It's really weird. So, if anything, do it just for that part. The sensation's amazing.
Man, that's also one of my favorite. I'm a huge Jelly Belly fan, and that's one of my favorite flavors of Jelly Belly is the Dr. Pepper Jelly Belly.
Do you know Dr. Pepper? I always thought they were owned by Pepsi, but they're not.
No, they're completely independent.
Yeah, I thought that was so cool. So, keeping the independent streak alive, drink more Dr. Pepper. DrPepper.com/followernetworks. No.
That's like calling Sam Adams a micro brewer, or, you know, a craft brewer. I mean, technically it's true, but you're really stretching the limits there a little bit.
Well, yeah, like Cloud Atlas being an independent film when it had a budget of $100 million.
It's
not really an independent film, even though it was technically.
Yeah, so, we'll let it go.
Yeah, okay. We'll let that go. That's our announcement. Come to Independent Show. If you stop by the Follow Networks booth around lunchtime, we'll be doing a podcast. Before that, I'm moderating a panel for some really awesome guys, so check that out. And the rest of the time, we'll just be sitting at the booth. So until Cody has to leave to go to the Colts game, because he sucks.
Yeah, big props to my pledge son for winning tickets to go to the Colts-Pats game on Sunday Night Football.
Mm-hmm. Jealous.
It'll be fun.
Natalie might tie you up and take the ticket, so.
he might notice. I mean, I'm.
I don't know. She's going on some fake facial hair. You could have pseudo boobs.
Fair enough. She's got to put on a lot of fake hair, though. I haven't had a haircut or shaved in I don't know how long. I'm looking very, very scruff.
Well, she's Eastern European, so, you know.
And this is why Matt sleeps on the couch.
Oh. I love my hairy wife. Anyway. I'm kidding. She's not hairy. Honey, I love you. What you been reading, buddy?
I haven't been reading a single thing. It's become a depressing trend as work got more and more heavy. I haven't even been Downtown Comics North remodeled. I don't know if you knew that or not. Oh. I haven't even been in there. They put in new carpet. They painted the walls. They did all kinds of stuff. I have yet to see it. They did it like 2 weeks ago, I think.
Oh, 2 weeks ago? Okay.
Yeah.
I go once a month to my comic shop, so.
Yeah, it's, it's probably been close to a month and a half since I bought a comic, so it's been rough. It's been rough.
Mm.
I've continued reading the World War Cthulhu anthology from Dark Regions Press, but if that shows you anything, I will normally knock out a book a week, sometimes 2 books a week, and I've been reading that for almost a month now. So yeah, I'm really not doing a whole lot of reading.
Oh, you're talking to the like slowest Game of Thrones reader ever.
I used to be
a 3-novel a week guy. I had a book for pooping, a book for lunch, and a book for before I'd go to sleep. And that was before like I had my like figured out I have horrible sleep issues. So ever since then, I've been sleeping good. I haven't been reading.
I suppose that's probably a good thing, though.
So I can either have physical health or mental health, neither of them at the same time.
Gotta make those choices.
Bad choices. Well, then what have I been reading, you ask?
Hey, what have you been reading?
Oh, thank you. L'Industria Inferni.
Right.
By Lucas Patterson. He actually, we have to put this in code since this is a G-rated show now. He gives out a blowy with every purchase.
I don't know if that's going to get him more sales or less.
No, a blow pop.
You're
sick. Your dirty, dirty mind.
You know, some people don't like gum. That's all I was trying to say.
Just eat around it, man. The grape blow pop is amazing. Like, grape everything. Grape flavored anything tastes better than grapes. That's weird.
Fair enough.
But I also read, for our last book club meeting, I read Saga Volume, or not Saga.
You read Fables.
Fables Volume 1.
Spoiler. Way to go. You ruined it.
Sorry. Hey, guess what the next book club is? Saga Volume 1.
About time.
Yeah. I was hoping for Kingdom Come, because I love that story, and that's in, like, the top contenders for it.
Fair enough.
But yeah, so that's a thing that's happening. Fables Volume 1 was very interesting. Have you ever read that?
I know enough about the series to know what's going on, but no, I've never actually sat down and read the origin of Fables.
I mean, it's totally Harry Potter for Disney. I mean, it's like, it's all the mythological, like, old stories, Cinderella and Beauty and the Beast and all that, and stuff that wasn't in Disney either, so like Jack and Jill and all that. They, you know, have their own little secret society hidden within our society.
Nice.
It's much smaller than the Harry Potter world. They were living in, like, fairyland or whatever, and then they, the adversary swept across all the kingdoms, and, the survivors left. I guess later on in the volumes, you figure out who the adversary is. But,
gotcha.
It was an interesting story. It was fun. The Big Bad Wolf is a really fun character. He's very Constantine-y.
Gotcha.
By that, I just mean he wears a trench coat and smokes a lot. but pretty interesting.
To Constantine, to wear a brown trench coat and smoke. I think that's fair. That's a good that's a good verb.
Constantine-y, yeah. Or a Constantine-y is a chilled vodka drink that you stir with a cigarette.
Also acceptable. I think
we
created
what?
Both. This is a successful podcast.
We've
increased the English language, and we've created a drink that no one in their right mind would ever order.
Not since the Bard has a word entered the English language with as much power as Constantini. Anyway, so that's all I've
done.
Been reading. Yeah. Oh, we're done. Out. Peace.
Bye.
Later. Bye. Have a good night. Yeah, that's all I've been reading.
Fair enough.
I have not read Joan of Orca Part 2 because I'm waiting until all three parts are out to read it. Because as we all know, when a story comes out in multi-parts, I like to do it all at once.
Sure.
Death of Wolverine, Batman 66 and the Green Hornet. You know, I've said this many times. So, but that's available as well. If you go to followthe.tv/orca, I think. Just go on that website and fart around a little bit. You'll find it. Or come to the Independent Show and get a download card from us.
So, nice.
Yeah, and it's kind of cool, too, because you download it and then you pay what you want.
Always a good model.
Yeah, we're shilling comic books for tips.
Hey.
That's pretty much how it goes.
You got to get it out there somehow, you know what I mean?
Hey, yeah, it works. Yeah, that's the ticket. Anyway,
so,
I guess that concludes what we've been reading.
Well, it does, except I told you I was going to spring something on you, so I'm going to ask you this while we're recording. And then I will choose to edit it so that your answer lines up with the way I want you to answer. So,
so okay, just so we know, if my answer's all disjointed, like, I like to have tea and crumpets, like, then I answered wrong.
It's clear. It's clearly a Skype connection issue. That's
yeah, that's how... it. Yeah. Not giving you 5 stars.
No. So I've been, we've talked about this idea off the air before. And I was going to say something. I'm like, I'll just wait and we'll talk about it on the show because it'll give us something to talk about. So we've talked about, since you're not a role-playing guy, we've talked about doing some sort of role-playing. And the one thing I have been doing since I haven't been reading is listening to a lot of podcasts. Because we all know I'm a big Lovecraft fan.
And you have a like 2-hour round-trip commute.
Correct. I do have a 2-hour round-trip commute, so I listen to a lot of podcasts. Because also while I'm at work, I tend to spend anywhere from 6 to 8 hours by myself. So I listen to podcasts then as well. Anywho, I recently noticed, there's a type of Call of Cthulhu game you can play that's called Monophobia. And I've listened to a couple of these. So it's just two people. It's one person running the game and one person experiencing the horror totally by themselves, isolated with no help. And they just have to make all of their decisions.
Okay.
I also found out last night that the three Monophobia sessions are totally free. So there's no purchasing, there's no buying from Amazon, there's no delivery. So I thought I would pose to you as a role-playing thing, if you would like to play one of these Monophobias, we might be able to record it as an episode.
That's awesome. All right. That's awesome. Okay, so the next episode is going to be us recording it independent, and then after that it's going to be this thing. Because that's awesome.
Well, go ahead and get your glee out, and then I'll put the little hashtag on it. Yeah, put the asterisk on it. Just because
Sammy Sosa.
It'll probably be, I would imagine.
Barry Bonds. Asterisk, right.
There you go. it'll probably be a series of episodes. It probably won't come out as one lump, because the last time we released like a 2.5 hour podcast, we weren't able to record anymore for a while.
Yeah.
So we'll probably go through you and I. For you and I, it will be one evening, but I figure we'll probably break it up into a series of podcasts that we'll release every so often, assuming people would enjoy that.
Can I drink during it?
Of course.
Can I sleep at your house?
If you need to, yeah.
Okay, let's do this thing. Drunk Monophobias.
I've listened to a couple of them. I think there are three. I've listened to two, and they're a lot of fun. So it'll be interesting to see how you experience living in a horror setting, I guess.
Okay, and I want to go ahead and throw out there that that will probably not be a rated G episode.
Probably not. I don't want to take
pay attention for the explicit tag on your iTunes.
But yeah, no, I think it'd be fun. We could go through the rules. That might be part of an episode, and then we just – usually you can get a Monophobia done in about 2-ish hours, so maybe three one-hour episodes, 3 50-minute episodes, something like that. We could probably do it.
All right, I'm in.
Cool.
Cool, cool, cool. That sounds like fun. Oh, yeah. That'll give us time to, like, bank some episodes, too, for Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Giggity. Geek Movie of the Week. Week, week.
Bum, bum, bum. It'll be a surprise to me, along with everyone. What is it?
Well, I couldn't decide. It's between two movies, so I'm going to give you the two titles, and you tell me.
Gotcha.
One's old and one's new. Mm. The original Scream or Snowpiercer.
I haven't seen Snowpiercer yet. I want that to be a movie of the week after I've seen it, so.
It's so good. It is so good. It's on your Netflix right now.
No, I know. Did you see me tag you in that post about Snowpiercer?
I did, but you know what? Somebody told me to watch it, and I can't remember who. It might have been Fact Checker Troy.
Mm.
So, Troy, if that was you, let me know. If it was you, I really, really, really liked it. It's going to be on Instant Film Review on Follow Networks here in the next 2 weeks. So,
it is.
It's an amazing film.
Someone told me about it. I believe it was my friend Pat, who was the one I tagged you on, the post when he said that it was on Netflix. He told me about it. I think he saw something about us reviewing Europa Report or something as a Geek Movie of the Week. And he's like, hey, you need to check out this film. It's awesome. And at that point, you couldn't get it on Netflix. So as soon as I found out it was on Netflix, I was like, I'm going to watch it. And we're going to talk about that as a Geek Movie of the Week.
Oh, yeah. It was so cool. So definitely watch that before next week.
Definitely.
And we'll get it. Lucas Patterson, you watch it too, because you'll be on next week's episode. So there you go. Okay, Scream, the original Scream. When was the last time you saw that?
I saw it when it came out on VHS.
And that was it?
That was it. I haven't seen it since.
Okay. When it came out on VHS, I rented it at Blockbuster. And remember Blockbuster used to put on the back, like, a little description of the film?
Right.
And they'd also put, like, what year it came out and how many minutes it was. Mm-hmm. And I remember on Scream, the very last line, I don't know why I remember this, because this was like, what, that came out in 1997 or 8. It was like my sophomore year of high school, because I remember Dustin Metter talking about it in an art class. So, like, for some reason, everything about Scream is ingrained directly into my long-term memory. But, God, I haven't even thought of Dustin Metter in 10 years. That's weird. Longer. Oh,
Flash
my God.
Flashbacks with Matt.
Better do. Hey, reminiscing with old people this Sunday. So at the very bottom of the description, it said watch for cameos. And as we all know, I am wont to do, I get my drinking movie night on the weekends. And I was going to watch Europa Report because you told me to. And then I was like, you know what? I had thought earlier in the day about that, about Scream, and I was thinking of movie cameos. And because I had just watched a Million Ways to Die in the West.
Gotcha.
And so I just think about cameos in movies and how they make me laugh. And it made me think of that line. And so I was like, man, I gotta rewatch that. Cause I would have been too young, like 1997, 98. I was 15, 16 years old. Like I wouldn't have cared.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't have paid attention to cameos. So I thought, okay, I'll check it out. And, the movie, while it is stylistically very late 90s.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
It was very easy for me to relate to Jamie Kennedy's character. even to the point that he was wearing AstroTurf green shoes, and I had a pair of green Airwalks
nice.
Back in the day. It held up. It was a fun watch. However, I didn't notice any cameos, except for, like, one. I'm sure there were more, but, like, for, like, classic horror films.
Yeah.
But the kinds of cameos that I noticed were very goofy.
Gotcha.
So, and what I mean by that is tropes of horror movies. Like, even in the film, Sidney Prescott says, like, I don't like horror movies. You know, it's always a girl running up the stairs. She should be going out the front door.
Right.
And then what happens, like, right after that, she tries to go out the front door, but it's, like, really, really, it's got all the locks.
Yeah.
Locked, and so then she has to run upstairs to her room. There was, what's her name? Rose McGowan says Wes Carpenter. Sounds like something out of a Wes Carpenter movie.
Huh.
You know, let me think here. What else did I notice that I was like, that's almost like a cameo, like a product or a movie cameo.
Well, that was what I was going to say is that I don't know that when you think about watching for cameos that you're necessarily looking for, oh, hey, look, you know, Stan Lee showed up, you know.
Yeah.
To me, it's more stylistically, it's a... Here you go. You can use the word meta now. It's sort of a, you know, it's sort of a postmodern 80s slasher movie. So it's an 80s slasher movie that in a very meta theatrical way is mocking, you know, the 80s slasher movie.
Dude, that's meta.
It's totally meta.
Totally meta. Totes meta. I mean, of course, there is a cameo in the very beginning. Like when the movie was previewed as like the best horror movie ever or whatever for the time. They were like, starring Drew Barrymore, and then she dies in the first 3 minutes, which was awesome. There was, I'm thinking, at the very end, like, when they're at that really nice house, they're at Matthew Lillard's house.
Yeah.
And the killer's there. When Jamie Kennedy goes up and pauses, I think they're watching one of the Halloween movies at the time, goes up and pauses it, there's a VHS copy of Clerks.
Nice.
Sitting right there on the VCR. And I was like, that's a cameo if ever I've seen one. Because then, you know, Wes Craven was in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. And then also put Jay and Silent Bob in Scream 3. They did a cameo.
Well, I think...
That's fun.
Yeah, I think that's just that they're talking more about the style. Because that's just... I mean, it's one of the reasons, in my opinion, why Scary Movie worked. You know what I mean? Because Scary Movie... I mean, if you look at it plot point wise, you know, essentially Scary Movie is the first Scream. And it's, but it just hypes up those, you know, those, homage moments even more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the whole usual, I've always been struck by the Usual Suspects moment at the end where,
Deputy Doofus or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, stuff like that. They've just taken slight homages that you see in Scream and then just, you know, blown them up and out of proportion. You know what I mean? It's fantastic. It's really kind of it's a clever horror film. Although I would wonder if it holds up for, let's say you were to take that and to give it to, you know, a couple of teenagers or young college students right now. I wonder what they would think of it.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Horrible.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if it holds up because it's a solid film, which I think it is, or does it hold up because you and I have seen those 80s slashers movies, so we understand what happens when we're mocking it.
Yeah. There was, after Scary Movie came out, then there was a made-for-TV version called Shriek, If You Know What I Did Last Summer. And had, like, Tom Arnold and, like, Coolio in it. Very funny movie. Actually, you know what? I take it back. It was very stupid. But they had one of the best things in it. They did the opening, like, scream scene, you know, where it's the young starlet, and maybe it wasn't Scary Movie. She's being stalked by a killer, and he's wearing a Jason hockey mask.
Mm-hmm.
And he, while he's chasing her through the yard, he runs into a bug zapper, and his face catches on fire, and he puts it out in a bird bath. And when he comes up, it had melted into the ghost face.
Nice.
I thought that was cute. But anyway, back to Scream. There was one funny thing that made me laugh out loud. So Henry Winkler's the principal, right?
Yes.
And before he gets killed in his office. He had the ghost mask on that he had confiscated from some children that were playing a prank. And, he hears a noise and he opens his door and says, like, you know, what the H do you want? Or something like that. Or what, you know, who's out? Who the blank is out there? And, it's an old man mopping the floor, and he says, what'd you just say to me? And Henry Winkler says, oh, sorry, Fred. But when you look at the guy that was mopping, he's only on the screen for like 2 seconds. He's got on the Freddy Krueger Christmas sweater and like an old battered fedora. It's so funny. Like, I laughed out loud. I snorted into my vodka and Sierra Mist.
Well, I mean, Wes Craven like you say, he's poking fun at himself. I mean, he made some of those movies. I would argue he made some of the better 80s slasher movies, but still, I mean, it was a horror is interesting because at least in film, it's constantly evolving. And
he wrote it too, which makes the line from Rose McGowan so much funnier. Like, oh, it sounds like something out of a Wes Carpenter movie.
I mean, like,
that's beautiful.
He's smart enough to know where he's at, you know what I mean? And it's brilliant. Like I said, all those jokes, it sort of reminds me of some other things I've been watching. Or, you know, Ambrosia and I were watching something that was from the 50s, and she's like, that language is just so archaic. There's so many jokes that just go right over your head because you weren't living in the 50s, because it's a 50s show about the 50s. Mm-hmm. And it would be interesting to show if even now we're at enough distance that if you were to show that to you know, someone who was around at that age but didn't watch it, if they would still get it or not.
It was good stuff. It was definitely good stuff. And I would say that the jokes don't go over your head because the language is kept, you know, kind of simple. There's not too many jokes that are just of the time. You know what I mean?
I wonder. I mean, perhaps, but...
Or maybe because I lived through it, I know, and it's just a part of my vernacular, I wouldn't even notice it.
Exactly. That's what I think would be interesting, is to put that... It's kind of... Have you ever seen that YouTube channel where they put old technology in front of teenagers?
Yeah.
I mean, I hate it, because...
It's depressing.
It is. But the same sort of thing, you know, like a cassette tape, you know, giving a cassette tape to fourth graders and asking them what they think it is. They have no clue, but to you, it's all... You know, nostalgia, and like you said, it's in your vernacular, it just shows up. So that's always really fascinating to me, to see what would happen if you – so take someone who was still born in the 90s. You know, someone who's in college right now was probably born in what, 90, 93, 94, 95, maybe a little later than that. So
if they were born in 94, then they're 20.
Yeah. So, yeah. So you could hand that movie to somebody who was born in the, you know, mid-90s. So they would have grown up in that era but not been a part of that era, you know what I mean? So the vernacular you would assume would carry over, but are the jokes still going to read?
I don't know. That is an interesting thought. So, hey, if you're listening to the show and you were born in 1996, go watch Scream and tell us what you think.
Write us on Facebook and be like, man, this movie sucks. You guys are old.
Man, this movie's wax. Whack. Wax. I can't even... Ah, dang it.
Hashtag,
I'm so old.
Hashtag YOLO swag.
YOLO. All right, so that's the Geek Movie of the Week. Scream on Netflix. All four Scream movies are on there. Check them out. Have you ever seen the fourth one?
No, I don't think I've seen anything beyond... I've seen a little bit of 3, I believe, but I don't think I've seen anything in its entirety beyond the first one.
The second one had Timothy Olyphant, so yeah, it was cool. But the fourth one was very fun because it took that series and those characters and it, you know, put it in today. So, like, you know, the killer, instead of using a cell phone, would set up webcams. You know, to things like that. It was very interesting.
Yeah, it's so weird, though. It's been so long since I've seen it. As you're sitting here talking about it, I realized that half of my memory is I Know What You Did Last Summer, and half of my memory is Scream. And right now, it's really hard for me to separate those two films.
And Sarah Michelle Gellar didn't help anything, because she was in the second Scream, and in the first I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Right. So.
Right. Oh, you know what I just thought? Oh, plus everybody in those two movies was in Scooby-Doo. or I guess 3 out of 4 of them. That's weird. I just had a bad thought, though. I realized, like, so they were trying to frame the father, Sydney's father, mm-hmm. but they cloned his cell phone. Like, can you still do that?
I don't know.
I don't think you can anymore. I mean, I really think you would have to build your own cell phone. And then, like, Courtney Cox runs out to the news van when the killer is killing the kids. And she's like, give me the cell phone! And they say cellular telephone a lot in it. And then he hands her that big, bulky gray one with the big black antenna that looks like a cop's walkie-talkie.
Yep.
Yeah. So, okay, I'm starting to rethink my position.
Yeah, like I said, it's hard. It's really hard to look past your own nostalgia.
Oh, God.
But I think part of it is because I recognize it because I'm a 50-year-old man trapped in a 20-something-year-old body.
Yeah, I mean, you have a classic film calendar, so.
Yeah, so I mean, to me, I notice it because I'm making references all the time that my generation doesn't know. So that's where I'm suddenly start thinking, you know, those kids today are a lot younger than they think they are.
Yeah, oh God. I'm gonna go take a Geritol and go to bed.
Don't forget your multivitamin.
That's what a Geritol is, isn't it?
I don't know.
Centrum Silver?
I don't know. I don't know if there's a
You know what? I have to take my, I have to eat so I can take my back pill.
Christmas Vacation.
That'll be a Keek movie of the week very soon.
I love that movie.
It's not Christmas until I watch that and Bad Santa every year.
That's one of two Christmas films I own.
Yeah, what's the other one?
The Christmas Carol with, oh, what's his name? It's like the 1952 British version of Christmas Carol. So it's like all sepia and it's awesome because it's one of the best portrayals of.
That's the one where the ghosts are like really creepy too.
Yes, it's awesome. But that
I have Muppet Christmas Carol.
Also good, but yeah, just those two movies. I'm not a big Christmas movie fan, but those two, I love those.
World's greatest Christmas movies: Die Hard and Gremlins.
Correct.
So just saying.
I do like watching Die Hard for Christmas
and Iron Man 3 and Lethal Weapon 2. Anyway. I want to talk, I mean, you know, usually we have like a big topic to talk about. We didn't this week. I want to talk about Geek TV. I know we've been hitting it pretty hard lately, but it's getting so good.
It's awesome.
Now tell me what you're not caught up on, because I know you've been extraordinarily busy lately.
Anything. I'm probably anywhere from 2 to 3 weeks behind on everything. I haven't even seen Flash yet. I haven't even started it.
Oh, that sucks. I've already done like 2 Arrow crossovers with it, which is awesome.
Nice. I think I'm 1 episode behind on Constantine. I'm several episodes behind on Gotham, and I haven't touched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in almost a month. So I'm a little out of the loop.
Oh, God. You're horrible. Well, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you're only behind 3 weeks, because last week they took the week off, as did the Flash. And they played that, Marvel 75th anniversary special.
Oh, nice.
Which was cool, because it gave us, first of all, a sneak peek of Agent Carter, that eight episode thing that's coming out in January.
Yeah.
So that'll be cool. You know what that's about, right?
I mean, I know it's about Agent Carter. I don't know about anything more than that.
Okay. Well, they played a scene from it with Howard Stark and, Jarvis, like the original Jarvis.
Hmm.
So. And, like, Jarvis is supposed to be, like, her protector and manservant. So I want to go ahead and throw out there that this is the year of the butler. Because Alfred on Gotham is awesome, and now we get Jarvis.
That's, well, yeah, it's coming up, 2015, the year of the butler. I could see that.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, God, so I got to talk without spoiling things for you. Walking Dead was cool. If you read the comics, we had a big reveal. Spoilers right now. Eugene came clean. He is not. A super scientist who's going to cure the plague. Mm-hmm. So that little pipe dream is gone. But this last week's episode was kind of a filler episode. It wasn't like super great or anything, but it was still fun. The episode the week before was really awesome, where we get to find out what happened to Beth. Hmm. So pretty neat stuff.
I've seen a lot of memes online, so I'm assuming it was pretty gruesome.
It wasn't gruesome. It was just different. Like, she's abducted by people that have taken a hospital, and they have a doctor with them. And so, like, they provide medical care to the wounded in exchange for protection.
Gotcha.
And, those people, like if they cure you, if they save you, then you owe them, like, a huge debt, and you have to work to pay it off. So they live in, like, the lap of luxury. It's kind of an indentured servitude thing. It's kind of interesting.
Almost a little Repo the Genetic Opera there. Except they're not taking the parts back out of you.
Did I ever tell you, like, the weekend when I had my drunk movie night, I rented that and the second Sherlock Holmes movie? And I had no idea, but I watched two Jude Law movies in one night where the movies both end with Jude Law on an old-fashioned typewriter.
That probably blew your drunk mind.
It did. Like, by the time the Sherlock Holmes movie was over, I was like, oh my god! That was so cool! I gotta lay down. So that's the thing that happened. Let's see. The Marvel 75th anniversary thing was cool. We got another scene from Avengers 2. We also got to see some Ant-Man footage, like real footage, not just the teaser thing that they put up at Comic-Con a couple years ago.
Nice.
Like, we got to see actually Paul Rudd and Michael Douglas interacting. So that was cool. What else? I mean, I guess that's all there is to say about that special. That was the whole reason I watched it. You know, and then we got the scene from Peggy Carter deal, which will be cool. I'll be real excited to see if they have Neil McDonough playing Dum Dum Dugan in that, since he was in the opening of S.H.I.E.L.D. this year.
Yeah, that was really kind of a surprising cameo.
I mean, that was a backdoor pilot, you know? That's all that was. So, and, you know, when they take their half-season break, Agent Carter is what will replace them. So,
which is kind of
a smart deal.
Yeah, no, and what's kind of nice is since Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. right now is so, you know, kind of rogue operation, you're not really getting the sort of classic S.H.I.E.L.D. look that we got from season one. Mm-hmm. It's kind of interesting that we're going to take a break and get 8 episodes of a more traditional S.H.I.E.L.D. show, you know what I mean?
Yeah, the founding of S.H.I.E.L.D., essentially.
Right, so I'm assuming we're going to see a lot of order and investigation and kind of problem of the week, kind of, you know, that kind of setup, which would be kind of...
Yeah.
Supposed to always being on the run and running into the general and going, oh no, constantly.
It's Glenn Talbot.
Again. He's everywhere.
You know what? The best part about Ang Lee's Hulk movie was Glenn Talbot getting killed. Did you get to see Mockingbird?
Mockingbird, no.
You haven't made... Mockingbird's a character now, dude.
Really?
Yeah. She is a character on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And in the second episode she's in, because I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say she's hot.
Okay.
She is wearing a extraordinarily tight and way too small Star Wars t-shirt. So having Mockingbird wearing a Star Wars t-shirt, I lost it. I just lost it. It made me rethink my marriage vows.
I wonder how much J.J. Abrams paid to have them have her wear a Star Wars t-shirt.
It's a Disney show, and that's a Disney movie.
Right, but, I mean, they've got to have
J.J. didn't pay nothing, man. Disney wants money. They need to hype it. Remember, as I'm so fond of saying, Princess Leia and Thor are both now Disney princesses.
It's true. It's a fact.
Yeah, do what you will there. Okay, so S.H.I.E.L.D.'s awesome. Excited about Agent Carter. Flash is fun. They're really going at it. Every week is a new Rogues villain. We've had Captain Cold now.
Nice.
So, I mean, you're getting these awesome, fun villains that the Flash has. I mean, that's half the draw of reading a Flash comic book, is really what rogue is it going to be this week? Batman has a rogues gallery, but they are all homicidal maniacs. The Flashes are just fun and mostly inept. So it makes it a lot more of a fun watch. Because Captain Cold, you can have him on a show and then throw him away for 3 episodes. It's fine. He'll come back later.
I've heard it said a number of times that the best rogues gallery in DC is arguably Batman's for a number of reasons. But the second best rogues gallery is almost universally accepted as the Flash's villains.
I mean, in the Flash's continuity, when villains team up, they refer to themselves as the rogues. Like, they know it. There's no hiding it. It's right on Front Street, man.
Nice.
So, anyway, fun stuff. Very enjoyable. Check that out if you haven't watched it already. I'm going to start watching Arrow extraordinarily soon.
Nice.
Now, having said that, too, you know, the guy that plays Arrow is going to be in Lego Batman 3.
Yes, I did hear that Fat Man on a Batman episode.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I want to be Jim Lee and throw pencils. I'm excited.
It's just so, DC is hitting back, which is awesome to see. I mean, they're trying to, you know, Arrow is kind of teen drama-y. You've got Gotham, which is kind of a cop drama. Flash just seems like it's a bundle of fun. They're swinging back with, you know, lots of different portrayals of the comic book genre.
I agree 100%. I mean, it's escalation. You know, at the end of Batman Begins, that's what Jim Gordon says to Batman. Like, what about escalation? You know, we start carrying semi-automatics, they carry automatics. We get plate armor, they get armor-piercing rounds. We have a guy in a mask fighting crime, you know?
Yeah.
And it's so, like, Marvel brought it to DC, and now DC's hitting back. So we're getting, it's a great time to be us, that's all.
I agree. I mean, it's, like I said, I'm still behind on Gotham. I know some of the spoilers that are coming up, but it is just awesome. Every episode is just getting better and better and better. As you see that, like I said, it's part crime drama, but it's also part mob film, you know? Yeah. So you're getting the intricacies and the layers and how they're tied to the mob and they can't get away from it. And meanwhile, there's, you know, the one mob versus the other, and you've got, you know, Falcone's interior crumbling. It's great. It's fantastic.
Well, I mean, from where you left off, yeah.
As you say, there's probably still some more stuff going on that I don't know about yet, and I accept
Tell
that.
Me the last thing you remember about Gotham.
The sweet, beautiful moment where Fish Moody's girl that she's trained walks up and catches Falcone's eye, and you know that she's just totally she's total bait so that he can take her out, where they're sitting down and they're listening to the aria together.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that is brilliant. It's a really interesting scene. For those who haven't already caught on to what she was doing,
yeah,
it's a real visual, you know, way to show how she's worming her way into taking him down in a number of ways.
So, you didn't see the Penguin reveal?
Penguin reveal. The last thing he did was get beat around, and then Gordon walks in and says, hey, you know, everything he told you was the truth. So if there's any sort of Penguin reveal bigger than that, then no.
Wait, the Penguin walks in? Is that what you said?
I'm totally lost on what you're talking about. I know Gordon knows he's alive because he just defended himself in front of Marconi.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that.
Okay. Well, that storyline took off. It's great. It is effing great. That's where you get the introduction. I know you said you knew that Victor Zsasz comes in.
Yeah, I saw that. Thank you, Hulu, for spoiling that for me.
Oh, my God. Cody, that's your homework. Is for next week, you have to catch up on Gotham. It's amazing, dude.
Oh, no. That's the thing, is that all these people are telling me, oh, I love Gotham. I love Gotham. And I, honestly, I knew I would love it because I'm a huge Batman fan. I thought it would be a wash for the general public because there's no Batman. But people are loving it.
You just don't need the Batman in this. I mean, oh, God, I don't want to ruin things for you. How dare you not watch the show? Ah!
I'm catching up. I warned you before we started that I would not know all the cool, exciting stuff that you would want to share.
Oh, God, you need to catch up now. I just watched, like, the reason you tried to call me earlier and I wasn't ready to record is because I was watching tonight's episode, which I'm going to spoil something, but it's not plotline. It's part of the Bruce Wayne background stuff.
Gotcha.
So he goes back to school, right? And one of the other kids, who he calls Tommy, starts making fun of him for having dead parents.
Oh, Tom, okay. I know yeah, you're talking Tom, about.
Yeah, right? So Tommy's got like 6 inches on him, mm-hmm. But Bruce slaps him in the face, then gets the crap knocked out of him.
Nice.
So he goes home, and Alfred's all like, what happened, Master Bruce, you know? So, I don't know if I can talk without cussing. It's so beautiful. I'm going to cuss. You got to bleep.
Oh, great.
I'll fight it. I'll fight the urge. Fight the urge, Matthew. You can do it. Will Smith doesn't have to cuss to sell records, but I do, so f*** him and f*** you too. Anyway, that was a quote, so I'm allowed to do that.
I don't think it works that way at all.
Oh, dang. So, Alfred's mad that he didn't fight back, right? That he didn't win the fight.
Right.
He's like, you have to defend your parents' honor. So it, you see them pull up to this, like, old brownstone house, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the limo. And Alfred comes around and lets Bruce out of the back, and Bruce is kind of timid and stuff. And he hands him, he's got a handkerchief, and in the handkerchief is a big watch, big wristwatch.
Gotcha.
And he says, it's your father's watch, take care of it. And he said, where are we? And he's like, Tommy Elliot's house. And so they just flat out says Tommy Elliot, but you're like, yes, it's Hush.
Hush.
This is why Hush hates Batman. It's beautiful. Or hates Bruce Wayne. At least in this continuity, because of course they change everything.
Well, yeah.
Black Sarah Essen. Which is a fine change. I have nothing against that. That sounded stupid. Now I feel like a racist. Dang it. Plus she's his boss, so like if he has sex with her, it's just creepy.
It is a little.
So you're like, what is going on? He's like, I really don't want to do this. And he goes up to the door and rings it, and Tommy comes down the porch, and he's like, what do you want? And he's like, I need to talk to you. We need to talk about today. And Tommy's like, what, little rich boy or whatever? And Bruce still holding the watch. The watch was a weight, and he just starts beating the crap out of Tommy Elliot.
Nice.
And that's why Alfred brought him there. Alfred drove him to this kid's house so that he could beat the crap out of him with a weapon. It was beautiful. It was like, you know, when you'd hold a roll of quarters to punch somebody. Oh my God. It was just gorgeous. And then afterwards, Tommy's like, he tried to kill me. And Alfred's like, and you just remember that next time.
It's
so,
it's interesting. Alfred has become less and less the 90s frail old man, and is becoming more and more like the, you know, ex-MI5 guy.
It's Batman Earth One.
Well, I think I've seen, there's other places that I've seen it besides Batman Earth One.
Yeah, I mean, they even, as recently as that weird CGI Batman cartoon.
I say, Beware the Batman does it. There are a couple of other places that's been suggested.
But it's just very fun to see. So yes, Year of the Butler.
Definitely.
It was so great. And then they promoed like next week's episode, and during Sleepy Hollow tonight, they played a scene, the first meeting of Harvey Dent and Jim Gordon.
Interesting.
Yeah. So within 3 weeks, we've gotten Victor Zsasz, Tommy Elliot, and now we're going to get, you know, Two-Face.
It's just interesting to me that they're playing around with the general ages of everybody. Because, I mean, if you think about it, that makes Victor Zsasz relatively old compared to Bruce Wayne. You know what I mean? Like, Bruce Wayne is usually seen as sort of a contemporary age, whereas Jim Gordon's supposed to be significantly older than him normally. Mm-hmm. So it's
well, I mean, they don't arguably in the show, it's like 12 and 30.
Right. But I mean, if you assume that year one takes place when he's what, say 25?
Yeah, probably.
26? So that still only makes Jim Gordon 40-something? You know what I mean? Like, there always is assumed to be more age there, I feel like.
Well, and if we go with the continuity of The Dark Knight Returns, I mean, at that point, Batman's 55 and Jim is 72.
Yeah. So I guess that kind of brings it a little closer together.
Yeah.
I just am glad that they don't feel restrained in order to do that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they gave him a Catwoman character to play with so that Bruce
Wayne... Which she's going to be big in the next episode, too.
They give that you know, dichotomy there that we can play with. But then they're just saying, let's leave all the toys for Gordon and, you know, make this a show about Gordon, which is fantastic.
Well, something happened, like, last week that makes... last week was, like, the greatest thing ever. I just want to go ahead and say that. Like, especially if you're a Harvey Bullock fan.
Nice.
Last week, I cheered at my television. And I think Natalie did too. So last week was awesome. And if you watched it, or when you watch it, I bet you'll cheer too.
We'll just,
at least on the inside.
We'll just say I cheer. We'll say I cheer. How's that sound?
Yeah.
Cheered.
So good, sir.
I cheered when I watch it like an hour from now or something. I don't know. Something.
Are you going to try to watch it tonight?
Oh, we'll see how long it takes to edit the podcast.
Well, I only cussed twice, so it's good.
That's true. Making it easier on me.
Yeah. God, Gotham is just, it's my new favorite show.
Fair enough.
It is my new favorite show, sure.
Have you started watching Constantine yet?
Yeah, oh yeah, did I leave that out? Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't heard
of it. I've watched all three episodes.
Nice.
Um,
it's my wife's new favorite show, actually.
Oh, that's cool.
Which is interesting.
Well, Once she watches Gotham, it might change. No, yeah, Constantine, you said you didn't watch this week's episode?
No, so I'm one episode behind, but otherwise I'm good.
They introduced Papa Midnight.
Excellent. That's a great character. Cool.
This one was a really good story, too. This was a really fun one. But I do want to say that I don't know if I ever pronounced his name right, but Digimon Hansu. I know I'm not saying it right.
Digimon Hansu.
I mean, it's like D-J-I-M-O-N. It looks like Digimon. But Jaimon Hansu was a great Papa Midnight because he had the accent, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was kind of jaded. Like, his portrayal of Papa Midnight was the best part of the Keanu Reeves movie.
You know what we really need to do is
the cross shotgun.
Fair enough.
With the repeater.
We need to, I believe, Cody Schroeder still has, I have the first 12 issues of Hellblazer in trade, and I need to get those to you because I'm drawing a lot of parallels between that original Jamie Delano run of like 20, 30 issues and the storylines they're playing up so far.
Cool.
So, yeah, I'd like to get you plugged into that to see what you notice. That'd be fun. Pretty cool.
What? You know, in the pilot, Chaz gets stabbed in the chest and lives.
Yeah.
How did that work?
See, that's the interesting thing about... I will be honest here. I have been... So I started reading Hellblazer, and I collected a few of the trades. And then I decided I was going to go out and try and find them all in order and read them. Mm-hmm. And so I'm working my way through purchasing all of the original Hellblazer comics. So I have large gaps where I don't know what's going on. Now, not to spoil anything, Chaz gets horrifically murdered in one of the things, and it's totally Constantine's fault in one storyline.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know if that's a power of his or if that's just kind of an homage to it, you know? Or I don't know anything about Chaz because I've read only early Hellblazer. I've not read any of the later stuff because he gets married. He hooks up with a couple of different women, and they're all throwing that into the mix. But that's all much later Constantine than what I've read.
Hmm. All right, good to know. Good to know.
He does drive a cab, though. That is his thing. He drives a taxi cab. That
was, yeah, and I mean, like, the background for Chaz is, like, when Constantine was orphaned, he meets Chaz on the street, and they become friends, and he invites him to come back and stay with him. And, like, Chaz's mother is a low-grade witch.
Yeah.
Constantine ends up, like, killing her because she's, like, horribly abusive. And stuff, and they've been best friends ever since.
Yeah, it's a pretty brutal world, and I'm glad to see they're not. That was my biggest fear, is that they wouldn't pull the trigger on the brutal nature of the Hellblazer universe.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like they are. As much as you can do, I'd love to see this show on like an FX or something like that. But if we're gonna get it on cable network or on standard broadcast channels, then I feel like they're pushing it about as dark as they can go. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with that. I really like how they've handled the smoking.
Yeah, I did like that a lot in the second episode, where we're not seeing him smoke, but
we're seeing him
walking.
Yeah, you see him walking from behind. Like, so the first episode, you see him stubbing something in an ashtray, but you don't ever see it.
Right.
Second episode, you're walking behind him, like that's the point of view, and you see smoke coming out to the side.
Yeah.
But you don't see the cigarette. And then in the third one, he pulls a cigarette out and goes to light it and then thinks better of it, just puts it down because he's, like, having a fight with someone.
Which, let me tell you, I appreciate that because that is such a classic image. Like, seeing him in that trench coat with the bleach blonde hair smoking a cigarette is just, that's every issue of Hellblazer ever. So it makes me so happy that they're trying to include that as often as possible, even though I'm sure NBC's like, we can't have character smoke on camera. So they're trying to make it work.
Yeah, I mean, if you smoke in a movie, that's a PG-13 rating now.
It's so weird.
But if you go back, like, I mean, Pinocchio smoked a cigar. Dabney Coleman in Muppets Take Manhattan is smoking.
Yeah, well, you know.
I mean, whenever they do a joke about Bugs Bunny getting shot by Elmer Fudd, he pulls out a cigarette with his blindfold.
Yeah, this is true.
I mean...
Change in times.
Smoking is almost anachronistic now.
That's
having
fair.
Said that, I've been using just my vaporizer for like a month.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I saw in the paper today there's a city in Massachusetts that is trying to create a local ordinance to ban all sale of tobacco products in their town of like 7,000 people.
I mean, whatever. I mean, I defend a person's right to smoke. I don't give a That's their business.
Yeah.
Doing it in a car with a kid, bad idea.
True.
You know, doing it in public places. While that was fun back in the day, and I enjoyed, at least as a person, I got to have the opportunity to smoke in public places, you know, I don't miss it.
It's fair.
I mean, I used to joke, like, when we go to bars in college and my friends wouldn't want to sit with me because I would smoke. And it's like, you're not here because you want to live a long, happy life. You're drinking a depressant, for Christ's sake.
It's fair.
But, yeah.
Regardless, lots of drinking and at least simulated smoking in Constantine, so I approve.
Yeah, I do too. And thankfully, so do the censors. I guess that's it for this week. Do you have anything to add, sir?
I don't think so, other than I need to go boot up Hulu and start watching some stuff.
Yes, you do.
And
I know that you love Constantine, but seriously, you've got to get current on Gotham.
Oh, I will.
It's so good, dude. As a matter of fact, when you're done, I want you to just call me. We don't even have to record it. I just want to talk to you about Gotham.
Fantastic. So
get on that. upcoming, don't forget, independent show this Sunday. And I believe December 12th is our next book club. We're doing Saga Volume 1 at the Androids Dungeon in scenic Avon, Indiana. You can get Lindustria Inferne on Amazon. Just Google Lucas Patterson, because spelling Lindustria Inferne sucks. And I guess that's it.
Like, 5-star, share, Facebook group, you know, those things.
Oh, go to followthe.tv/forums and join our forum. We are writing comic books with you, with everybody. If you want involved, if you give an idea and it works in the plot and we put the book out and we make money, guess what? You get a cut. Free money. Just for your ideas. Maybe you've wanted, you're like, man, I could write a comic book better than this guy. Then put your money where your mouth is and try it.
Sounds good.
It's really not that hard. I mean, except unless you're Lucas, because he has to draw the whole thing, and that sucks. Speaking of which, if you're a comic book artist, get in contact with me. We have work for you.
Nice.
Please. Lucas's arms are tired. From all the masturbation. Hail Hydra.